Right. Good morning. Oh, mercy, Lord. My goodness. Wake up, everybody. Here we go. All right. Good to have all of you here this morning. I'm not used to using this microphone. That's all on me. Josh is going to help me out bad there. Thank you so much. So good to have everybody here this morning at Faith Church. Thank you for making us a part of your Sunday morning. You're the beginning. I always try to think of Sunday, which it should be the beginning of your week. So if you're thinking, oh, man, tomorrow's the beginning. No, this is the beginning of your week. And why that's important is how you start things becomes how you finish it, right? And so whenever you're thinking about things, you're like, man, this week, I don't know, it's going to be so bad. I got to look forward to tomorrow and what I got to get into. Forget that. Think right now is the beginning of your week. And so you made a good choice, by the way, if you're here in person or online, by joining us for maybe it's your first or second time. I want to highlight that first. So if you're here and it's your first or second time, make sure you let us know that. In person, we got a gift for you. And online, we got a gift for you. We got gifts either way. We want to give stuff away to you. So let us know you're there. We want to bless you with those things. All right, we're out front, and I think Ms. Dawn's probably told our online audience this, but I will clarify, all right? We have changed a couple of things we're doing, and we're going to have some different stuff going on today. If the stream goes down on Facebook, it probably is still good on YouTube. So if you're on our Facebook right now and you're watching us, you're on Facebook Live with us, something happens, hey, just hit the YouTube link. And while you're there, subscribe. You might as well if you're not already doing that. We'd appreciate that so you could keep up with all our content going on, part of which is Faith Kids. We'd love for your kids to be a part of the experience. What we love here about Faith, what I try to instill in my family and in the church culture, is that kids are just as much a part of our experience as adults, right? There's no difference in my mind in the value of a person, no matter what their age is, right? And so, matter of fact, today I'm going to be working in Faith Kids as we get an awesome guest speaker I'm going to introduce in just a minute. But as part of the experience, we want to encourage you, if you have children, bring them in. We want them downstairs. We want to take time with them, to pour into their lives, to invest in them, and encourage them and build them up after a hard week they may have had as well. Or just give them something to do for an hour, and prayerfully they'll get something great out of it at the end as well. Also, if you're online, we have a Faith Kids experience for you too. So if you miss a week or out a week or whatever, know that that's there. It's on our Facebook page. You can click a link. It's really easy. It takes you to a video that you can watch together. It takes about 15, 20 minutes tops, and then you're off and running, and you can discuss it together and make an impact where you are as well, okay? So thank you for doing that. Now, there's a few things I want to highlight because we got a lot. Holy smokes, we got a lot going on here at Faith this July. July is just always the busiest month, and this is no exception. And so let me run through a couple of things I want to really point out. One is Faith Work Days. We had one a couple of weeks ago. We got one coming up Saturday, July 16th at 9 a.m. until we're done, all right? So Saturday, July 16th, 9 a.m. until we're done, we're going to do some painting. We're going to do a lot of painting downstairs in the kids' room. And so I encourage you, if you can raise your hand above your head, right? This is the only qualification you need to paint in this church, all right? If you can raise either hand above your head, you can paint, all right? So you're thinking, I'm not good at it, I don't know, whatever. Whatever, don't give me excuses, right? There's no excuse. You can come in, you can lift your arm above your head, you can paint. Even if it's just for an hour or two, trust me, the many hands make light work, and it goes away real quick when everybody's pitching in. And I'd appreciate that if you could make that part of your Saturday morning. Not this one, or not last, yesterday, obviously, because that was already gone, but next Saturday. A couple other things is happening. One, tomorrow. Now, this is going to be interesting because we've never done this before, but it should be good. So tomorrow is a busy afternoon, right? So we had our cookout planned, which is at 6, all right? So we're going to do a free hamburgers, hot dogs, everything you need. We're going to have tables and chairs set up outside. It's going to be a great event. It's all free. You just come and bring a friend, bring a few people with you, just hang out with us and eat some free hamburgers and hot dogs. Well, before that, we're going to do something different. I want to encourage you to come with us right across the street, all right? So if you're here with us and you're planning to come at 6, come here half an hour early. We're going to walk across the street to the library, and then behind it, they're doing Pownall Trivia Night, all right? How many people, let's do a quick poll in here in-house, and online you can respond as well. How many years, if you live in our area, have you lived in our community? Anybody here longer than 10? All right, anybody here longer than 20? Anybody here longer than 30? Good grief, anybody longer than 40? All right, a couple of folks. Anybody longer than 50 years? All right, just Leo. All right, good. So anyway, so what do you know about town, right? Our little community, there's a lot of history packed into this place, so much that I'm always reminded by people who know a lot more than me of all the things that have happened in this town's history. And so what a fun way to be able to explore it together. If you're like me and you don't know a whole lot, you've only been here, 8 years or so, whatever, that's a great time to jump into a trivia night and learn some stuff and maybe make a couple of new friends you hadn't met before, or you know, hang out with people you do know. And then we're going to walk over here for the cookout after, all right? So tomorrow, make your plans right now. Thinking, man, if I'm working, but as soon as I'm out of work, get here. We're going to go to the library at 5:30. Then we're going to come here at 6, and we're going to eat some great food and hang out and keep the party going then. Now, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, if you got kids, you know that summertime is the worst time sometimes for kids because they're so walking around bored, right? They're always like, oh, I don't have anything to do, nothing to do. And so they want to get on their screens, all right? And I'm talking about my kids right now. So they want to get on, you know, a TV or play games or whatever the case is, pull up their phones or tablets. Now, that can be okay sometimes, but if you want them to be a little more productive and have something else to do and get a little more interaction during the summer, then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is for you. My kids are going to be there because I'm going to kick them out of the house and make them go. And so Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday from 5 to 6:30, we're going to be right behind the firehouse on the corner of 346 and Church Street on the field behind that. And we're going to be out there having games and crafts and activities, a whole bunch of stuff, an hour and a half packed of stuff for kids to do, all ages. Don't matter how old or young you can come in and participate in some way. And so we want to encourage you to do that. And again, bring people with you. How you say, man, they're done with their camp, so what can they do? Come to this one because it starts at 5, so you got plenty of time to get there and get them in and have the time, have an hour to yourself. You know, when's the last time you had an hour to yourself? I don't remember last time I had an hour to myself, but maybe you do. So I encourage you to check that out. The last, two more things. Man, I told you we got a lot of stuff. Next week. Next Sunday morning, right here, is not a special thing like after church. During church, we're doing Hawaiian Shirt Sunday, all right? Yeah, all right. Anybody got a Hawaiian shirt? You better go buy one if you don't, all right? Next week, you get a Hawaiian shirt. Or you can make one. Maybe you make your own Hawaiian shirt. I don't know. So next Sunday is Hawaiian Shirt Sunday, so make sure you know that. Make sure you tell somebody, hey, when you're coming next week, wear a Hawaiian shirt, all right? So do that. We're just going to have some fun with it. It's nothing much more than that. I just thinking, man, what's the way to kind of make a Sunday a little special and check out other people's hideous shirts together. So let's wear some Hawaiian shirts next Sunday if you have one. If you don't, well, you got plenty of time to buy one, a whole week, right? And lastly, I want to highlight, celebrate Pownal Day, the last Saturday of the month, 11 to 2, is going to be a great experience as we have so many activities going on, so many things to do. We got free food, you got music, you got cornhole tournaments, we got bounce houses, dunk tanks, obstacle courses, so much stuff for all ages. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't put that on your calendar, do so, all right? Think, well, I don't know, I might be out of town. No, make Pownal priority, all right? We're celebrating Pownal together Saturday, July 30th, so make it a priority to say, I'm going to be there at some point from 11 to 2, and to be able to have some fun and to be able to jump in and really just say, man, I'm grateful to live in this little community, right? To live in this place that's so awesome, that has weather like this. Thank you, Jesus. To be able to get out and enjoy it and to do it with each other. And so I want to encourage you, if you haven't done so already, put that on your calendar as well. Last thing I want to always call us to is for generosity, right, to giving. So if you first are in need, maybe you're watching us online and it's your first or second time, or maybe you've been here and kind of lurking in the background, we want to let you know that if you are in need of any kind, financial, material, whatever it is, we want to help you where you're at, all right? So make sure you let us know. You can do that really easily by going to faithchurchvt.com. You'll find all our contact info at the bottom. You can message us there any way that's convenient for you, and we will get back to you and see what we can do to be able to reach out and meet that need in your life. Also, if you would like to give, we're all generated here by generosity. Every single thing we're doing is by your generosity. So if you'd like to give to our community, the easiest way to do that is faithchurchvt.com. Again, this time you're just going to press the give button at the top, and you're going to be able to give that way. Or if you have physical giving, you could give in the baskets on the front or in the back, whatever way. Really easy to do that. You can do so during the break here in just a couple of minutes, okay? Awesome. Thank you so much, by the way, church, for all that you do in giving, whether it be your time, your talent, finances. All of it is so appreciated. I'm so grateful to be a part of you guys and doing this together here in Pownal. So thank you for all you do for our community. Last thing before I get off the stage is today's a special day. Last week I talked about how we're doing a new thing, right? We're calling it Swimming Upstream. That's the series name. However, we're doing it new because you're not listening to me every time. And so this week and the next week and the week after, we've got three special guests. And what makes them special is not because they are from out of our church. What makes them special is because they're from right in our church community. And so I'm so grateful for Ron Dwyer today. He's going to come up in just a second. He's going to give us the message this morning. And I'm really pumped about this. It's been such a great honor and experience this week working through with Ron. Part of why we did this is so what I pray is part of our culture here at church Faith Church in general, is that we're equipping, building up, encouraging, trying to teach and instruct one another, to be accountable to one another, do all these things for and with each other. And the biggest and most important thing that I can do as a pastor is to help somebody who wants to engage and speak to others about the gospel of Jesus, and help them to do it just a little bit better. I don't do it great, but I know I just can point out little tips and tricks and just involve myself in the process and try to bless them. And that's what I think we accomplished this week, Ron. I think it was rewarding to me. I don't know what you got out of it, but I enjoy my time with you. So I pray that you guys are going to enjoy your time with Ron this morning as he gives a message. And I'm going to be having fun with some preteens down at Faith Kids. All right. I'm looking forward to that. But he's going to give you this message, and it's going to be fantastic. And I want to encourage you to lean in and listen to him as he gives it this morning. So go ahead and come on up here, Ron, while I'm running my trap. And you guys give him a warm welcome. Let's give him a warm welcome this morning. All right, sir. Gotcha. It's all you.
Thank you.
Make sure you turn your mic on.
Working? Yeah. If I stumble a little bit through this today, I have three things working against me. My penmanship. I'm not a good reader to begin with. And I'm very close to blind. So when you add the three up, if I start to stumble, just... We're off and running. Thank you. But yeah. So when Pastor Jason spoke to Dave and Walt, myself, about doing this, as he just expressed to you that you know, that maybe people get tired of hearing the same voice or the same style, and the problem for Dave and I and Walt is that we're following probably the best that I've ever seen do it, so that doesn't help, but with God's grace, we'll get through it. But when he was talking to us about it, it reminded me of a book that I read probably 30 years ago, and it ties into what we're talking about today, because we're going to talk about like us teaching and committing to the Word that way. And it reminded me of Red Auerbach. Some of you might know who Red Auerbach is, and some may not. So I'll just share with you. He was probably one of the most brilliant basketball minds ever to be involved in basketball. He was a president of the Boston Celtics during their glory years of winning 10 or 11, 12 consecutive championships. And one of the things that stuck out, that when I read his book 30 years ago, one of the things that stuck out to me was he talked about how the same voice, the same way, people start to hear kind of that Charlie Brown wah, wah, wah. They're not here anymore. So, you know, he expressed how at halftime he would go in and he would throw his clipboard down sometimes and yell, and other times he would compliment. But the difference, obviously he couldn't change, but the difference was that he would just change his voice. So it just made me think of how in tune Pastor Jason is and how unselfish he is, wanting what's best for all of us and going out on a limb and allowing Dave and myself and Walt to do this. So just a little side thing that I wanted to just share with you how it affects me. So with that being said, beginning to tie this in, as we always take our question of the day, today's question, and we'll take 4 or 5 minutes to reflect on it, is what teacher impacted you the most and why? So, got it, Josh? Okay. Does anybody want to share any of those responses on what teacher impacted them the most and why? Don? Cool. That's awesome. Very creative. Anyone else? Dave.
It reminded me about the coach you were talking about, like changing things up and slamming the clipboard down. I had an instructor in college that in the back of the room, there's big metal cabinets, and he was a real charismatic kind of teacher anyway. But if anybody fell asleep, he kept this big chunk of metal on the floor, and he would chuck it into the cabinet.
Wake up call. Nice. Getting your attention, right? It's all about getting the attention, right? That's what Red Auerbach was saying, yeah. Anyone else? Walt.
I was a teacher, but it was my senior drill instructor.
Mm-hmm.
And all the training we go through, it's just like teaching kids how to drill. He would do it first. Whatever the obstacle course was or whatever it was.
Right. Right. Yeah. Teaching by example, right? Right. Very cool. Anybody else? Yes.
but he had a way of, he would walk to you, sit next on the desk next to you, and he would just listen to every word you had to say, and it sort of, it was a way, like the whole class faded away, and it was just a
nice
conversation.
That's the key, right? Get that feeling. Anyone else? Yeah. Nice. Right. Well, when I get to mine in a little bit, similar to yours, I have an event that happened to me through my teacher that has really carried me through my whole life. But all right. Well, great. Thank you. So quickly, we'll just review what Pastor Jason went over last week in case any of you weren't here. As he mentioned, we're going through the 2 Timothy. And just a quick review of last week, Paul is writing a letter to Timothy from prison. He's in prison in Rome. He's asking Timothy to accept his calling. He wrote to Timothy and told him how he was prayerful for him day and night, and that he was thankful for his mother and his grandmother, which we'll tie in a little bit later as well. He told him that choose love over shame, and that God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. 1:8, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, but of me as prisoner, but share in the suffering from the gospel of the power of God. Pastor also spoke to how Paul wasn't ashamed because Paul knew whom he believed in. So it wasn't shame. So let's dive in. Quickly go to prayer for this. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for this church. Thank you for all these people here. Thank you for Jason trusting in all of us to stand up here and preach on your word. Lord, I pray that for the next 20 minutes, we block everything on the outside world out and we focus on just what you have in store for us. I pray, Lord, that you could deliver your message. It's not my message, Lord. This is your message. I pray that I can deliver it in a way that in some way impacts each person here, that they can take it home and use it. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. So as I first sat down with Pastor Jason this week, a couple times met with him this week, we talked about his message last week. And I said, it was just so awesome. And remember, if you remember, those of you who are here, he was kind of apologetic for running over a little late. And I said, I could have listened for another hour. It was awesome. Don't apologize for that. But interesting, as we talked about it, I couldn't remember anything. I couldn't remember anything specific. And how often does that happen? All I knew is it was awesome, and he had me, but I couldn't remember it. So as we talked about that, we said, you know, Jason's always evaluating himself. And he's like, well, maybe I'm giving too much. And I said, well, it might be just that I'm a little slow. But either way, so what we decided to do is condense it down. So today, we'll be talking about the 2 Timothy 1 through 7. Seven verses, kind of break them down a little bit as we feel like what Paul's message was to Timothy, but also what's the message for us. Hopefully we can get through that. 2:1, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Immediately, we feel that genuine love from Paul, right? I mean, Paul wants Timothy to know He's got him. He's attached to him like a father. You know, he's speaking to him like, you then, my son, be strong. Speaking to him like a father. He's encouraging Timothy. He knows Timothy's going to need encouragement for what he's asking him to take on. It seems like a parental plea to him. Like we know Timothy was younger than Paul, so Paul's maybe speaking to him more like a parent. The word grace, it's like he's just telling Timothy, I've got you. Like, stand in that grace, in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Grace that's strengthened by God, not our strength, but just strength that's grace that's strengthened by God will be there for you. Stand in that grace. This is for us as well. Our salvation comes from grace. We didn't earn it. It was given to us. It was given to us freely. I think that's he's conveying that message. Stand in it. We have to do the same, right? We need to stand in God's grace and trust in it. It's hard sometimes, but that's what I believe that Paul's telling Timothy, and I think that's what we need to do. God is saying, be strong in me. I've got you. I had to use that today here, right? This is an uncomfortable situation to stand up here. I'm not a preacher. I'm not qualified to stand here, but God's qualified to guide me through it. I'm standing in that. There's no pressure for us, right? Or Timothy, because it's free. He's given. He's done all the work for us. Be strong, not in your own ability, Timothy, but in me. I choose you. Grace with our salvation becomes, we acquire our salvation through it, our new life, new beginnings, the peace, the joy, the comfort. Just be strong in this. Timothy, you have already been accepted, right? Paul's telling him, just in that first phrase, you've been accepted. Be strong in it. I wonder if that at that time set the stage a little bit for you. If Paul was thinking that Timothy was weak, he would have every reason to be weak. He was younger. He's thinking, Paul's in prison again, and he's in Rome this time. This is like the real deal. This is scary. You know, would be very easy for Timothy to be like, I'm out. You know, this is, people are starting to turn. This is no good. I'm out. Paul's really trying to encourage him through this letter. Paul wants Timothy to just be strong. I think of the new in thing is Boston strong and this strong and that strong. Well, Paul really wants Timothy to be God strong. Stand in the grace. I've got you. Be strong in that unmerited favor that I have given you. We've all been given that, right? An unmerited favor. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. It was given to us. He just wants him to be strong in God. I don't tell, couldn't all of this apply to us as well? Certainly to me. Verse 2:2. And these things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. What is he saying to Timothy, right? Spread the good news, the gospel. And to he's given him this life, use it in carefully in, to somebody carefully that will intentionally use it. And most importantly, wants to teach it. Share it with these people that are willing to teach it. For us, a lot of us, find your Timothy. You know, I think that's what I hear when I hear this. It's like, find my Timothy. Let me teach to someone who wants to listen, someone who wants to take it as, you know, as important as it is and wants to do something with it. Find our Timothy. Are we willing? Are we as a congregation, are we willing to teach others? It says entrust in reliable people. Are we reliable people? These are questions that came to me as I, you know, tried to reflect on this. Are we reliable people? Us people of Pownell. As we learned last week, don't be ashamed. Are we sometimes? I've thought a lot about that. I'm not sure that the word ashamed, but maybe avoid as Christians, like sometimes it's just a little bit of the easier road. God chose Jesus. Paul chose Timothy. And Jesus chose us. So I think that, you know, some of these questions we could ask ourselves. You know, are we doing enough to spreading that good news of the gospel? As Pastor Jason preached a while ago, we're the minority. I can't remember the exact percentages, but for those of you that were here, it was like when he did the numbers, 5% of Powell are Christians, some crazy number like that. We're the minority. Are we ready to stand in grace and teach? It's not easy when you're that much of a minority. I think of the movie Pay It Forward. Now I'm dating myself because I think it's quite a while back. But I couldn't help but think of it when I read this. Like, you know, what if, we can't do it alone. What if we just, each of us taught one person a month or maybe even a year? What would that look like right here? If all of us, one person, we wouldn't have enough seats. Just one. As we're reflecting on this verse, I thought of my best teacher. Already gets me emotional. And I asked Jason, could I not share this? Because I said, I really don't want to look foolish in front. He said, no, you got to. That's what makes it good. I'm like, yeah, good for you. You're not the one up here doing it. I thought of my best teacher. So if I make it a little bit lighter, maybe it won't be as emotional for you. My best teacher being my grandmother. I want to just paint a picture of my grandmother. 4'5", maybe, severe osteoporosis, fingers are bending. I used to pick on her. Are you pointing at me or those guys over there? Like, you know, she was this little fiery woman that was so on fire for the Lord. I never saw anything like it in my life. So she was my best teacher without me knowing. I want to give you two quick examples how she impacted me. She loved Alan Jackson. She was very poor. She loved Alan Jackson, the country music guy. I made her a tape. I delivered her the tape. She handed it back to me. I said, what's the matter? She said, all rights are reserved. You're stealing. I'm like, Graham, are you kidding me right now? But the more I reflect on it, I mean, that's what we do. We do those sort of things, and we don't even give it thought. She wouldn't take it. She was appreciative. She wouldn't take it. That was the easier story, by the way. Now I got to tell you the tougher one for me that really impacted me. But I promised Pastor Jason I'd do it. When my son, her great-grandson, was about 5 or 6, I dropped him off at the Mount Anthony gym, and there was a friend of mine there that was going to look over him, and he wanted to watch a basketball game. So I went on to Bennington Health and Rehab, where my grandmother was, and stopped to visit, and she was so hung up on the fact that her great-grandson was at the gym. She didn't want me there. Get down there. He shouldn't be, blah, blah, blah. So as I was leaving, here's the tough part. I'll try to fly through it. She says to me, I'm so excited tonight. I said, why? I'm going to meet my Lord and Savior tonight. And she did. And it was so impactful because she was excited. I mean, come on. I'm not afraid of dying. But I'm not sure I'm excited, you know? It was so impactful to me that it was the greatest teaching I've ever experienced. Got through it. Thanks for being patient. But thank you. But, you know, this little 4'5" woman, just she was ready. And she was excited. And that just hung with me forever. So as we move forward, Paul uses three metaphors in the next three verses. 2-3. Join with me in the suffering like a good soldier of Christ. Kind of ties into, you know, with my grandmother experiencing that suffering. But she would take it all on. Nothing would waver. And I think of that, you know, join with me in the suffering like a good soldier, Christ Jesus. What is Paul saying? Join with me in the good news. But the good news comes with suffering. It comes with pain. We know that. We live it as well. From Paul's perspective, what makes a good soldier? I want to kind of wrap your head around that. Those times. Soldiers then, again, he was in prison. He was like a good soldier, but clearly knows the suffering will be worth it. Endure this, Timothy. Be like a good soldier. Paul knows Timothy is going to suffer, but is pleading with him in this letter to stay the course. Paul's suffering likely, he's suffering, and he's likely going to be beheaded. He's been in prison before, but this time, as I expressed earlier, is the real deal. He's in Roman prison. He knows he's losing support. All of Asia has turned their back on Paul at this point. Timothy knows this. Paul knows this. So he's well aware of the fact that Timothy has a rough road ahead of him. And it's probably going to be even harder than what Paul's endured. Paul continues to want to encourage him. Just encourage him to stay on course. And so for us, are we suffering today as Paul was or as Timothy? Again, we're the minority. What do we do with that suffering? Or do we avoid it? Again, how do we handle the social pressures of following Christ Jesus? Again, we are the minority, and there is suffering. Is our suffering what they went through? Probably not, because we find ways to avoid, but should we? I'm not certain on that. We might not get invited to that. We're different. We're called to be different, right? So we might not get invited to that 4th of July party or the Super Bowl because we are a little different. I think that's what we're supposed to be, but it's definitely, we're different, and it's definitely not easy. It's not easy always being that. Sometimes you just want to break from it, but we're supposed to be different. This is part of our suffering today. There's good news. Here's how we can get through it. Paul tells us in chapter 2:1, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It just keeps coming back to it, right? We can't be strong alone. We're a mess alone, but God's got us. Amen. Sometimes some things really are confusing about being Christians. And then I believe sometimes we just make it more confusing. It's really that simple. Stand in the grace in Christ Jesus. Or we choose so we can make it easier on us, right? We choose to make it easier on us sometimes, trying to relieve some of our suffering. It's human nature. Even as Christians, we try hard not to, but we're humans, and sometimes it's easier to just want to break and take that easier road. I certainly do it. Verse 4, the second metaphor. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. So again, from Timothy's perspective, he's going to get this more than we would, probably. He's going to get this because it was different then. Not like today's soldiers. If my good buddy Jeff Gibson was here, I'd have to tell him, don't take this personally. But today's soldiers are just different, right? Respecting those veterans, but it was different then. These soldiers, they couldn't get wrapped up in civilian affairs because they were 100% all in. If you were a soldier in that time, it was your life. It was all that they did. They weren't going out to, you know, to bars and having a few beers with their buddies when they're done. They were 24/7 soldiers. So Timothy would understand what Paul meant when he wrote this to him, just how committed he wanted him to be. So these soldiers wouldn't have time to get caught up in civilian affairs. Paul's saying, like a good soldier, he's saying it to him because in that day, a good soldier would be 100%. So to be like that soldier. Recruits back then, the commanding officers, they would be very involved. Today's soldiers, you might get recruited and you might, after basic training, never see you recruiting. It was different then. So Timothy could relate to what this verse meant. These soldiers just wouldn't be, they would not be distracted. Nothing else would matter but being a good soldier. For us, I feel like the question is obvious. Who is our commanding officer? Do we get caught up in civilian affairs? Do we get distracted by everyday life? It's hard. My answer is I try to avoid getting caught up in civilian affairs, but we do. Social media today, I mean, try to avoid that. For the longest time, I never even had it, but my wife convinced me we needed it for our business, which we did. But then you get caught up in it a little bit. It's hard to avoid. It seems even harder today. But the big question is, what do we do with it? Paul essentially tells us the same thing. It's no different today. Don't get caught up in it. It doesn't matter. What does matter is pleasing our commanding officer, Jesus Christ, so that we would hear the words that I would imagine we all hope and expect to hear. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Verse 5, second metaphor. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. Again, thinking of a Roman athlete in those times, different than some of our athletes today. So that you'll understand how Timothy would understand that verse differently than we would. The Roman athletes trained for 10 months just to get a chance to compete. Little different than when we talk about our athletes today. Not that they don't work hard, but just so that he would understand the metaphor. In those times, these athletes worked 100%. Their discipline, their commitment, much like a soldier, you know, their structure, their focus, laser focused on an athlete. This is what Paul kept trying to bring Timothy to in this, is like there's going to be a lot of distractions. Paul knew that Timothy was going to have a lot of distractions. Given Paul's situation, he was probably thinking it's going to be even harder for Timothy, right? As more people are turning on Paul. For us, it's not that different. Preparedness, discipline, focus, steadfast, is our crown worth it? Compete by the rules. The rules aren't easy being a Christian. Sometimes, you know, this, again, I keep going to it, but we all know it. If we stick by the rules, it's not always easy. But the crown is worth it. Again, our crown, well done, my good and faithful servant. Verse 6, the hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Again, Paul's just continuing to encourage Timothy to work hard. Like farming, though, is probably the one metaphor that hasn't changed all that much today, right? Farmers today are usually working daylight to dark, some of the hardest working people that I know. They're committed 100% to what it is they're doing. That's essentially what Paul's just trying to get Timothy to understand here, that I need you all in, 100% committed, work hard like the farmer, daylight to dark. All three of these metaphors by Paul are things that Timothy could relate to and encourage him to and motivate him. Verse 7, reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Wow. As we reflect on these seven verses, the main three takeaways are the same for us as they were for Timothy. Devotion, honesty, and hard work applies to us today. Hasn't changed. Same thing. We're being called out for the same, in the same verses, we're being called out to do it as Christians. As I truly personally struggled to get this done this week, I actually had to reflect on using this lesson for myself this week. Last Wednesday, we were at men's group, and this was dropped on me by Jason. And if the one other time I've preached here, if you remember, if you were here, I said, my answer will be yes, period. Always yes. This time, it was a hard one to pull out the yes. And I shared with Jason, this is probably the busiest 10 days of my life, and you want me to pull this off? But my answer was yes, because it wasn't about me. God will get me through. And as I was struggling with this, I was truly with so much going on. I was having the hardest time of my life focusing on trying to hone in on this. I had to do exactly what I'm asking everybody here to do. I had to stand on that grace. And ultimately, God will always carry us through when we fall short, as we do. At least I do, often. So it was an interesting little lesson for me because I had to stand on it. Which brings me to what I would like to read to you, this poem written by Paul to Timothy. It helped me, and I hope and pray that it will do the same for you. 2:11-13. If we died with him, then we will live with him. If we endure, then we will reign with him. If we deny him, then he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he will remain faithful. For he is unable to deny his own nature. A few last thoughts as I wind down. That's the other thing. Jason said, keep it short. No more than 15 minutes. I probably already have gone over. But he didn't say no more than 15. He said, ultimately, if it's happening, go as long as you need. But as we wind this down, a few last thoughts that I just jotted down. Work hard. Stay committed. Though that know that it is not going to be easy, the crown is worth it. Dare to be different. It's one of the harder things, right? I think just daring to be different, it's hard. We're the minority. Maybe easy in here, but when we go out of here, it's different. It's hard. Christians can be filled with hardship, sacrifice, suffering, but it's worth the crown in the end. Let's work hard to please our commander. Isn't that what Pastor Jason did when he moved here? I just imagine being him, a Christian living in Georgia in the South, surrounded by these kind of people, and he gets called to go to Pownall, Vermont, pack up his family and go to Pownall, Vermont, and lead us. He was standing on God's grace. Right? He's standing on that grace that's in Christ Jesus. And look what he's done. I'm so thankful he's been here. We are a blessed bunch to have Pastor Jason. Sorry, just that reading thing lost my spot. Bad news is we're all messed up. But the good news is God's not done with us. Working hard, relying on our self-strength, doesn't fix our faults. The unmerited favor, that grace that has been given to us freely, is what will get us through. Through the life and death of the resurrection of Jesus, he made a way for new life, to be forgiven, a new identity, and our new beginnings. So wrapping up, here's what this means. If you are not a follower of Jesus, please keep coming here. Keep checking us out. It's fine. We want you. Please feel welcome. Keep coming. But if you are ready to say yes to the God that has already said yes to you, you get your chance now. That's powerful to me. You know, that we just have to say yes. We don't have to do anything. It's all done. So if you are a new believer and you want to make that today, bow your head and let's go to prayer, something like this. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly stand before you this morning, confessing that we're a mess, can't do it alone. We're asking you today to be the Lord of our life, to be my Savior, take things over. I've tried for a long time to control my life on my own, and I fail miserably, Lord. So from this day forward, Lord, I pray that you come into my life and you direct me every minute of my life. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, amen. And the last thing I would just say is for believers, find your Timothy. Let's do it. Let's find our Timothy. Let's stand in the grace of Jesus Christ. Let's see where we go in Pownall. Thank you.